All right, welcome everyone to this week's investment review. We'll jump right into things. There's not a ton of changes from last week from an overall asset allocation perspective. We're still seeing a risk-on environment. We're still seeing the major indexes pushing to new highs on the equity side. Developed markets, as represented by EAFE, is getting very close to pushing out to new highs, and emerging markets is really taken off and has exceeded those, the highs from earlier this year quite some time ago. On the fixed income side, that continues to be something that's trending downward. But commodities, we've seen a big pickup over the last few months there. So we'll dig into that a little bit deeper when we look at our Dolly asset allocation guidance, and we'll go over to JG to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, you're right. I mean, on the surface, a lot of more of the same, what we have seen here and really been talking about over the course of the past few months and past few weeks, with U.S. equities at number one, but international equities and commodities moving up into two and three, respectively, over the course of the past few months. And a lot of the strength within international equities and commodities certainly coming as a result of the weak dollar. But international equities has been, over the course of the past few months, the most improved asset class that we've seen from a broader asset class ranking perspective, with U.S. equities continuing to push higher in terms of its tally ranking, in terms of the total number of buy signals. So international equities is improving. Commodities continues to improve as well, but they are continuing to improve at the expense of asset classes other than U.S. equities. So a lot of the signals that you're seeing from international equities and commodities are coming from predominantly asset classes like cash and like fixed income. So you're seeing a lot of those signals being picked up against some of the other lower beta kind of risk off asset classes today. So that's just kind of on the surface of the asset class perspective. Underneath the surface, though, there has been quite a few changes that I think are worth spending a little bit of time on. We've talked about over the course of the past week or so the consumer cyclicals or consumer discretionary moving up into the number one sector within Dolly. And that's the first time in quite a while that consumer discretionary has been up there in the number one position, and technology has ticked down to number two. Technology remains strong. It is just no longer the number one asset class like it has, the number one sector like it has been for a while. Another notable area of improvement is energy has moved up to the number four position. And so we've continued, as crude oil itself has continued to push above $50, $52, $53 a barrel, energy as a sector continues to move up in those sector ranks. From a style box perspective, probably the most notable change that we've seen is large cap growth moving out of the top three positions. And that is the first time in basically right at 5 years, in January of 16, that large cap growth has not been ranked within the top three style boxes as it relates to the Dolly style box rankings. And so what took over large cap growth is small cap blend. Small cap blend, we've got history on this going back all the way to 2003, and this is the first time we've actually seen small cap blend or small cap core move up into the number three position. And so small cap core, that's going to be your, think about your Russell 2000 index, think about S&P 600 SML index. That's going to be kind of your core position. But right now, the small cap style, small cap size is the area that is dominating the style box rankings, with small cap growth being number one, small cap blend being number three, and then mid cap growth is sitting there in there at number two. So a lot of the early trends that we saw really in the back few months of 2020 were beginning to see show up in some of these rankings, and that the smaller and mid cap areas of the market, and to some extent, some of the value areas of the market are continuing to improve relative to some of the kind of larger cap growth type of areas of the market. So that's going to be an important trend to continue to watch as we move through 2021.
All right, Jay, thanks a lot for that. And you're right, there's definitely been some pretty interesting shifts underneath the surface in some of these asset classes, and those definitely bear watching. And to dig into that a little more on the asset class group scores, we'll go over to Steve, who's got some stuff to share with us.
Thank you, John. In addition to each small cap group performing better than the large cap by score, as JG mentioned, I wanted to shout out a little bit to the international, global types of groups, which have just crossed above our core reading. Our core reading is the measurement of the percentile rank of the S&P 500 related funds against all asset classes around the world. What's interesting here is that the global and international growth score just peaked above the core score as we crossed into the new year. And we haven't seen anything like that at all for at least 2 years, where it attempted to take a dominant position over the core of the US then. Prior to that, we're talking about the global and international growth groups really falling apart in 2011, never to take a stint of dominance for any stretch of time. So we're talking about a 10-year saga where the global and international growth groups are trying to take an extreme competitive edge. And I think that, this second attempt here since 2011, could be something that you as an asset allocation or strategic allocation with Dynamics would want to pay attention to. I can tell you that the models have already been impacted, run on a relative strength basis at Dorsey Wright, and certainly fund score models. And those models will update in February, and they're gonna be impacted by more types of funds trying to move into the top five or top two lineups. I will give a shout out to international active managers, because we're seeing funds in the global growth, emerging market, and various quasi mixtures like that, putting up scores between the high fives and the mid fives. So it's a really major push here as we open up the inauguration of 2021, both with the president and with global and international growth, really sporting a good effort here. This is something actually to monitor as we move into the first quarter and complete the first quarter to see, the staying power of this group. But it is certainly important to bring up now, as individuals may need to increase allocation to international exposure as we go forward. John, back to you.
All right, great, Steve. Thanks for that. And you're right. This is something definitely to monitor. And I think, you've mentioned that it's been so long since some of these groups have had high scores and things like that. And that tends to lead to allocations that are way underweight, because people just keep reallocating towards the leaders and kind of avoid some of those areas that have been out of favor. So definitely something to keep watching there. From a momentum standpoint, just generally speaking, things are still looking pretty good. When we look at the momentum spreads, we had that big laggard rally in the late fall, kind of early winter, and things have really kind of gripped here, turned around, and things are looking very good from a momentum standpoint. It's not like we're moving up at a rapid clip here. It's just kind of slowly grinding up, and that's a good type of scenario for us to be in. And that is the case globally, domestic, and both in developed and emerging markets. So from a momentum standpoint, things actually do look very healthy. And a lot of the talk so far has focused on international securities and global. A reason why that's really coming to the fore, one of the reasons, is the weakness in the US dollar. That trend continues down, which provides a tailwind for international securities and international equities. Also, things like commodities do well in a falling dollar environment. More recently, we've seen a little rally up, but that has not broken the longer-term downtrend. So what we think now is that this is just kind of a little reflex rally within a longer-term downtrend. So we think that looking out further into 2021, those tailwinds will exist for some of these other areas that haven't had it for quite some time, as we've really kind of been in a rising dollar environment prior to the spring of last year. So moving over to U.S. styles, we'll go over to Joe to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, so we've already kind of touched on it in depth a little bit with with what Jay said earlier, you know, the big move that we've seen over the last week is small blend moving above large cap growth, which had been in there for quite some time, the top three. We still see mid and large value near the bottom in Dolly and on the asset class group scores page. So, you know, we're still having growth favored over value, at least as of right now. We haven't really seen the value besides that laggard rally at the end of last year, you know, continue to hold relative strength over some of those growth names. And that's really all, you know, I don't want to reiterate too much of what Jay said for styles. Now, looking at factors, you know, touching on what John said a little bit, the momentum factors have ticked up over the past couple of months as, you know, a lot of those momentum strategies made some adjustments. They moved some of the allocation away from large to mid and small during those evaluation periods at the end of the year. And we still can, you know, continue to see value tick a little bit higher, but it hasn't kept up with necessarily growth. Low volatility continues to be a place to avoid, as you know, a lot of sectors that make up low volatility, like utilities and real estate, have been are ranking near the bottom in Dolly and on the asset class group scores page.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Joe. And digging into the different U.S. sectors, we'll start off like we do with technology, and we'll go over to Ian for that.
Great. Thank you, John. Yeah, so with technology, as Jay touched on earlier, I've seen technology is still in the number two position on the broad Dolly domestic equity sector breakdown. So if you buy signal south of the consumer cyclical, which overtook it there over the past couple weeks at the beginning of this year, if you look at the asset class group scores sector breakdown, though, technology is actually still ranked a little bit higher than the consumer cyclicals group, just by a tenth of a score point, though. So technology is in the top position on that sector breakdown. And again, that takes into account absolute as well as that kind of relative strength side of the fund score. But both of those areas still scoring very well. Technology sitting there is the only sector-specific group with an average score of 5.0. So definitely see some kind of consistency from the group in that front. And in looking at talking about consistency and looking at one of the broader kind of representatives for the space as a whole, looking at the Technology Select Sector Spider Fund, ticker XLK, that fund moved to new all-time highs right at the end of last year on December 28th. At a mark of 130 on its respective point and figure chart, after giving multiple consecutive buy signals dating back to April of last year, and has remained at that 130 point since. So looking at the relative strength side of things, it's not as much that we've seen a real decline from a lot of these areas, especially the bigger areas within the technology space, more so just kind of maintaining that positioning while other areas have continued to improve while some of these sector changes have occurred. In looking at the different areas within the technology space, we still continue to see the small cap space continue to outperform the larger cap names that have kind of been more steady over the past couple weeks. The areas of the equipment, the technology hardware and equipment, and the semiconductor equipment continue to be among the top performing on average, looking at the individual representatives over the course of the past week. And looking at software has actually shown some improvement as well. I'm looking at an individual name within that space, Intuit, ticker INTU. That's the background software behind a lot of the like TurboTax and tax software that's coming out. So we enter the new year, people may be looking to take care of some of their taxes earlier. Saw a headline as well, the IRS is recommending that people submit their taxes online this year rather than kind of sending them in due to some backlogs from last year. So that's led to some pretty significant improvement in the Intuit stock price, moved to match its all-time high yesterday at 384, giving a buy signal in the process, and has continued higher another few percentage points today to mark a new all-time high with intraday trading on Wednesday at 396. So not too heavily overbought, so 4 for 5 or so. An interesting name to watch here moving forward within the space.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Ian. And we'll go over to Communication Services with Sarah.
Thanks, John. So Communication Services remains eighth ranked in Dolly, sitting in front of, just real estate and utilities and non-cyclicals at this time. We have 127 buy signals right now, which weakened over the last week. So on a relative basis, we are seeing a little bit of weakening. However, on an absolute basis, today we actually have seen XLC, so the broad spider fund, hit a new all-time high at 68. That particular chart has given five consecutive buy signals, trading right near the middle of the 10-week trading band with a 3.89 fund score. On the asset class group scores page, the sector remains in the blue zone. However, it is ranked ninth if you're looking at the other sector groups, comparing it with an average score of 4.11. Within the sector, we're still seeing the same kind of strength we've seen throughout the past few weeks, with publishing up there in the top decile of all the sub-industry groups, and along with, we got broadcasting. And then from a weaker perspective, integrated telecom services ranks in the bottom decile of all the industry groups, along with alternative carriers. So last week, kind of the good stock, bad stock that I gave was they're going to be the same for this week. So good being T-Mobile and a bad name to look at, if you will, AT&T ticker T. And then moving on to cyclicals, as Jay and Ian both mentioned, cyclicals moved up into the number one position in Dolly over the last week, overtaking technology, which had held that ranking for the better part of 4 years. From a broad perspective, XLY hit an all-time high on the 8th at 168, where it sits today, and it's one of the five broad sectors right now that is outperforming the S&P so far year to date. 67% overbought when looking at the chart of the XLY, up 3.7 year to date through yesterday's close with a 4.39 fund score. And again, as Ian mentioned, on the asset class group scores page, it is the second highest ranked sector, right behind technology with that group score of 4.90, and it's fourth on the system overall. And last week I'd mentioned PEZ, the momentum fund, that actually hit a new all-time high again today at 87. So it's up through yesterday's close about 12% year to date. So overlying that momentum factor is really, buying those winners and underweighting or avoiding the losers has definitely paid off here. So for the weaker groups, automotive retail, leisure products, and then the stronger groups we have at the top, the automobile manufacturers, autos and parts and equipment and footwear. And some stocks that I took a look at today that were worth mentioning, American Eagle Outfitters, Boot Barn, a lot of these specialty kind of clothing stores, we've seen kind of rally with I think vaccine news and just kind of the reopening trade. And then one other chart, Amazon, which today we saw bounce off of its trend line once again, that dates back to 2015. So that chart has been testing its trend line for a few times over the past few months. And once again, today we did see it reverse back up into X's. And then what a weaker name, I'm going to say is Las Vegas Sands, LVS. So that is a one of the weaker names within this particularly strong sector. And then utilities ranks dead last in Dolly, has 59 buy signals in its favor. Year to date, it's flat. The chart itself, so looking at XLU, completed a bullish signal reversal pattern on the 21st, where it remains today. And it's the only group that trails it right now on the asset class group scores page is going to be real estate. So that average score of 2.74. So nothing really, we haven't really seen any major shifts here over the past week in terms of, the strong groups, still just pointing out that independent power producers does rank in the top decile, while the gas utilities sub-industry group ranks dead last. So some dispersion there, but overall a weaker area. And again, a good stock, same as last week, going to be AES. And then a weaker name to look at is going to be Southwest Gas Holdings, and that's SWX.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Sarah. And we'll go to healthcare and financials, and we'll go back to Joe for that.
Yeah, so healthcare and biotech, they're both, healthcare is hanging on into the acceptable range in Dolly with financials, biting at its toes there. Both healthcare and biotech do have average group scores above 4.0, and they've kind of matched that macro trend that we've seen with small caps performing better than large caps recently. A lot of these small cap biotech and healthcare names have done really well over the past couple of months. If you want to look at the Spider S&P Biotech ETF, it's equally weighted That has a fund score of 5.85, and it broke a triple top last week to reach a new all-time high. So we're seeing a lot of strength in that specific area. Now, you know, with healthcare, we do see it declining in some buy signals on the Dolly page. So, you know, this would be an area where you would want to be mindful of where you're getting your broad exposure. But it's definitely not an area to avoid completely. And then, you know, two names that you may want to look out for on the strong side are Donahair, and that's the symbol DHR, and then Abbott Laboratories, symbol ABT. Both are 4-for-5s and are actionable in their respective trading bands, which is not the case that we've seen from a lot of these, the names on the system, given the run-up we've seen in domestic equities over the past several weeks. And then a name to perhaps avoid is Pfizer, symbol PFE. You know, despite the announcement of the vaccine at the end of 2020, it still remains a one attribute name with its lone positive attribute being that it's trading in a positive trend. So that would be one to avoid there. And then if we want to take a look at financials, this has been one of the, you know, the fastest improving areas on the system. On the asset class group scores page, both financials and financial and bank groups have average group scores above 4.0, with the financial banks group being the ninth highest scoring group on the asset class group scores page. So we've seen significant improvement in that area. Regional banks, so you know, hitting on it again, the smaller caps, the SPDR S&P Regional Banking ETF has a strong fund score of 5.22, which is higher than KBE, which is the SPDR banking ETF, and then XLF, which is the broad SPDR Select Financials ETF. And KRE is up over 13% year to date. And then we've seen quite a few large names report earnings over the last several weeks. So we'll go over a couple of those. JP Morgan and Bank of America, they're both 4-for-5s right now. They've pulled back slightly since they announced earnings last week. The earnings were fairly mixed. That could also have to be with, they were also in relatively overbought territory. So that could have contributed to some of the pullback that we've seen. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley both announced their earnings this week, with trading revenues being fairly positive, but mixed reviews overall. They both pulled back a little bit today. In fact, XLF is down around 50 bips right now, which is only two of the SPDR Select Sector, GIC Sector ETFs are down today. So we'll see how earnings continue moving forward and continue to monitor that. And we'll see if that financials group can take over healthcare and Dolly at some point here moving forward.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Joe. And Will, we've actually let him go on vacation for the rest of the week. So I'll try to cover his sectors. We'll start off with industrials. And energy has overtaken industrials in the Dolly rankings. Industrials is always an interesting area because there's such a diverse group of names in that sector. So there's definitely some really good looking names in industrials and some names that are not looking good. So it really is important to go through and pull out those areas that are really, that are working well, and then avoid those that are not. We've talked a lot over the past few of these calls about the air transport sector, specifically FedEx and UPS. Those two names have really pulled back quite a bit, but we've seen some other transportation areas remain strong. So things like some of the railroads and some of the trucking stocks still look pretty good in here. And there's also been some movement in some of the agricultural and farm machinery names, things like that, with some of the agriculture commodities picking up that we'll talk a little bit about later. Moving on to consumer staples, this is an area you definitely want to underweight in the portfolio. It ranks third to last in Dolly. And when you look through the consumer staples names, I think what you're going to find is there are a few names that are worth buying in here, but they are not your traditional consumer staples names that are really there to hold up well in a slowing economy or things like that. So we have a good economic environment right now. We have kind of inflation on the horizon. That's not necessarily a great environment for things like Procter & Gamble or things like Kellogg or those kind of more traditional names. So what you're going to find in consumer staples are some of the more high attribute names that you want to look at aren't necessarily the traditional defensive names. So something like DAR, something like Monster Energy, MNST, those names are in that group. They're definitely very strong momentum names, but not necessarily the kind of defensive consumer staples names that people normally associate with this sector. Those in this risk-on environment, those names are not doing well. They tend to be part of that lagger group and areas to definitely avoid. And finally, on to real estate, we've seen interest rates tick up here over the last few months. That has not been good for real estate. And also, you know, just all of the, you know, concern about what's going to happen to commercial real estate, retail real estate, things like that. When even when the economy opens back up and we're fully up and running again, there's most likely going to be some changes to how people are leasing space, the space requirements that they need. So between the rising rates and that overhang, it's been tough for real estate. Ranked second to last in Dolly. This is an area to definitely avoid. There's a few good attribute names in real estate if you do need some exposure there, but we would recommend you know, really staying away from this real estate area until we see some prolonged strength out of it. Now, going over to some materials and energy stocks, we'll go to Jamie for that.
Thanks, John. So obviously, materials remains third in Dolly. You know, the Spider Select materials fund, XLB, has a steady fund score around 4.4, and there hasn't been any movement on the PNF chart recently to speak of. Kind of the same as we discussed last week, industrial producers, chemicals remain the areas of strength within the sector. Precious metals continue to be an area of weakness. You know, among chemical producers, we saw Albemarle, ticker ALB, which is a chemicals producer, complete a bullish triangle today. So overall, the same picture that we've seen in materials for a while now. The sector itself is strong. Same areas of strength with industrial producers and chemicals, and then the weakness with precious metals producers. And then moving on to energy, as John mentioned, energy did pick up 9 buy signals over the last week, moving from 6th up into 4th in Dolly. The XLE Select Spider Energy Fund score has been steady around 3.8. It did reverse up into X's today. Overall, not a lot of movement on individual equity charts. You know, these are largely driven by crude, which has more or less traded kind of sideways over the last week. Do have some big names with reporting earnings in the next week or 10 days, including, you know, ExxonMobil, which I think is February 2nd, and then Chevron, which is early next week. So I think that'll give us a clearer picture about how these higher crude prices have impacted their bottom line and what their outlook is going forward. But energy, you know, continues to improve as crude remains strong. And overall, it is an area we would overweight as shown by the now ranks in the top half of Dolly.
All right, great. Thanks a lot for that, Jamie. And moving on to international equities, which we've talked quite a bit about already, but we'll dig into it a little deeper and we'll go back to Ian for that.
Great. Thank you, John. And so as John and others have said, the international equity space has continued to show advancements over the course of the past couple of weeks, with some of the tailwind effects of the lower dollar definitely boding well for the price movement there. In looking at the developed versus emerging market picture, we've continued to see, as we touched on last week, the emerging market space has continued to show advancements so far in 2021. With today's move actually marking a new all-time high for the broader iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, ticker EEM, moving up to a high of 56 after marking a high of 55 just a week ago. So continuing to pick up the pace there in the emerging market space. One thing to note is that fund is getting into kind of heavily overbought territory with a weekly overbought oversold reading north of 120%. So one thing to keep an eye on there, but definitely continuing to show technical improvement, both from a price movement and from a score perspective. EFA is also sitting at relative highs that kind of matching multi-year highs from back in 2017, currently there at 75. It's also in positive territory on the year, but hasn't improved quite as much as the emerging market space with the broader ticker EFA there. And then in looking underneath the hood at some of the movement that we see within the individual countries, we have a few different ways we can do that, either through the matrix ranking there that's depicted on the screen, but also the asset class group scores page, which groups a lot of these different areas in the individual country and regional groups. Sorted there by the average score of the group as a whole. And emerging markets continues to maintain its kind of positioning, picking up the bulk of the names at the top of that, with the broader kind of Asia regions scoring quite well. And we see that reflected in the relative strength rankings too, with actually 5 out of the 11 names included in the top quartile of our relative strength matrix country breakdown there, now coming from the emerging market space. So the continued strengthening of emerging markets is kind of depicted on both of these rankings, which kind of further confirms the move that we're seeing. Looking at some individual areas that are showing improvement, Philippines is one area to keep an eye on that's kind of continuing to tick upwards from a buy signal perspective. It's currently ranked in the second quartile, but definitely showing some advances there over the course of the past few weeks. One representative that you can look at for that is the iShares Philippines Investable Market Fund, ticker ETHE, has a suitable fund score of 3.43, but a very, very strong score direction of 3.26, sitting on two consecutive buy signals and in relatively actionable territory there. We've also seen India continue to advance as well, some kind of firming up its spot in that top quartile. And another area that hasn't shown improvement as much from an RS perspective, actually declined significantly from a relative strength perspective over the course of the past couple of weeks, but has begun to show some signs of light from just an absolute movement, is China. China fell all the way from the top quartile down into the bottom quartile of the rankings over the course of the past couple months. But in looking at kind of combining the China and India space, the Chindia, as it's referred to there. There's a ETF representative, ticker FNI from First Trust. The First Trust Chindia ETF has shown significant improvement throughout the course of the past few months, kind of taking the tail end of the broad improvement we've continued to see in China in the second half of last year, and then pairing that with the continued improvement we see in India, moving to a price return prior to today's move of about 9%. On a year-to-date basis, so just over the course of the past few weeks. That's another name that's getting into a little bit overbought territory, so that's one thing we definitely want to continue to keep an eye on for some of these areas that have continued to perform so well are getting a little bit frothy territory will be a place to keep an eye on. One area that has shown a significant underperformance from both a relative strength and a score perspective is Switzerland. The iShares MSCI Switzerland ETF, kind of indicative of that, still sitting on a buy signal, actually up at relative highs, up around 45, but has declined significantly from a score to recently cross beneath that 3.0 score line to a recent score posting at 2.96. And we also see that Switzerland is down towards the bottom end of the second quartile of names. So that'll be a place to monitor for those looking at names, kind of questioning moving forward whether we see that continue to decline from a relative strength perspective or whether it showed signs of light after a period of kind of consolidation there.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Ian. And moving over to fixed income, we'll bring Jamie back on.
Thanks, John. From an RF perspective, as we continue to see convertible bonds lead the fixed income groups that they have for some time now, U.S. government, especially long duration U.S. government, now sitting near the bottom in a lot of the rankings, thanks to rising yields. Speaking of rising yields, the 10-year topped out at about 1.175% on its default chart before reversing down, and it remains on a buy signal at 1.10, 1.075%, excuse me. So, you know, it's fallen about 10 basis points from where it topped out. But, you know, the overall trend remains that rates are rising and obviously have some room to run before they even get back to where we were at the beginning of 2020. So overall, the landscape in fixed income remains the same. Equity-linked fixed income like convertible bonds and preferred continue to perform well. And then the long duration instruments, especially treasuries, continue to be an area of weakness thanks to rising rates. Moving on to commodities, as I mentioned earlier, continuing to see weakness within precious metals. Gold broke a spread triple bottom on Tuesday, giving it a second consecutive sell signal, and also returned it to a negative overall trend. Saw some brief signs of life there for gold, but once again, back to a negative trend and continuing to show signs of weakness. Crude oil remains strong. It's traded mostly sideways over the last week between 52 and 53. Obviously, that has not been a negative for energy stocks. This is the highest level it's seen in about a year. So, that's good news for energy producers that we're seeing it kind of maintain these what are, at least given recent history, elevated levels. Also saw silver reverse down during the first week of January and remain in a column of O's. So again, more weakness from the precious metal sector of commodities. Still seeing good strength from the industrial metals. Copper has exhaled a bit, but remains on a buy signal and near all-time highs. So not much change in the commodity space, except that, we continue to see additional weakening within precious metals.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jamie. So we are definitely in a risk-on mode here. We definitely want to be overweight equities, domestic equities, and international equities both. We're seeing a lot of these areas that are economically sensitive or kind of more risky areas doing very, very well. And then a lot of the lower volatility areas cash rankings and currencies and things like that not doing very well at all. So it's definitely an area where we want to be aggressive. Our indicators are pretty much universally positive here. Things look good, and we're looking at breadth situations where the market is very overbought, but that's actually a bullish thing for where we're sitting now. So we'll be back next week to update with any other changes we see over the week.